This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
And this is our series on extreme beliefs. Today, we delve into a fascinating exploration of ideologies that push the boundaries of conventional societal norms and examine their effects on their followers. You may have heard of Scientology, known for its Hollywood adherent and secretive practices, or the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, FLDS, recognized for its controversial polygamous practices. Yet these are just two examples with an expansive landscape of extraordinary belief systems. Our focus today narrows into the Word of Faith Fellowship, a church in North Carolina led by Jane Whaley, which stands accused of severe misconduct and abuse. These are, however, just allegations. It's essential to note that Word of Faith Fellowship fervently denies all allegations brought against them. Today, we aim to shine a light on those accusations in a five-part podcast series about the Word of Faith Fellowship from the reporting of Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist for the Associated Press, Mitch Weiss.
Word started to spread how Jane had these healing powers, how there were alcoholics and drug addicts who were coming there and they were getting cured. Mm-hmm. One of the first people they had there who came, the Coopers were one of the first people. You know, they had these long Sunday services and they'd have to turn over everything to Jane. And one of the first people that actually became a member of the church was a guy by the name of Joe English. And Joe English may not mean much to most of your listeners, but back in the 70s, he was the drummer for Paul McCartney and Wings.
Okay.
Paul McCartney was, I believe he was recording his Venus and Mars album down in New Orleans. And Joe English was a great drummer. He had his own group. He had a deal with Epic Records. And at the time, he was living on the Allman Brothers ranch in Macon, Georgia. And Paul calls up, I think it was Dickie Betts, and said, "Do you know a drummer? I just fired my drummer, and I need someone to help me complete the album." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "I have the perfect guy here, this guy, Joe English." Next day, Joe English is on a plane. He's in a studio with Paul McCartney. And not only did he record that album, he, you know, goes on tour with Paul McCartney, cuts a few albums with him, sang on one of Paul's albums. I think there was a relationship there in part because Joe English was originally from Rochester and Paul's wife, Linda McCartney, was originally from Rochester because I think her father was with Eastman Kodak at the time. Mm-hmm. And they bonded. And at one point, he ends up marrying Dickie Betts' former wife, and she gets into an accident, and Jane finds out about it and heals her. And Joe English is doing drugs, and she tells Joe, "Unless you join the church with me, that's it." So at the height of Wings' fame, he quits and joins Word of Faith and becomes a Christian rock performer. Then he stops that altogether. And, there were people at the church who every once in a while they told me that, you know, he would try to leave, but they would always find him, bring him back. And so this guy who was on tour with Paul McCartney at the height of Wings, you know, for the most part, did odd jobs like cleaning toilets and, you know, fixing things around, you know, Word of Faith Fellowship.
Yeah.
So it's one of those stories you go, no, that can't be true. Mm-hmm. But it is. And, you know, the stories go on and on. The word just spread about Jane having these healing powers. And that's how people from all over the country ended up, you know, first setting up little churches, you know, in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, other states. And then when Jane was ready, she would close those churches and tell them to come to the mothership, which was in North Carolina. And they would. And that's how North Carolina grew. And of course, she did the same, you know, in Brazil and in Ghana. And at one time she had, you know, affiliations with churches in Switzerland and, you know, some other, you know, foreign countries in Europe. And in fact, a lot of the people who went to the church were from overseas. And so in a way, here you are, you're overseas, you're in the church, and then you discover that it's an abusive place. But what are you going to do? You work for a church business. She's cut you off from contact with your family overseas. You're kind of stuck. You really don't know what to do. It takes a lot of courage to leave. But people do it because of the abuse.
And
they can't take it.
Let's talk about that. First, I want to talk about leaving and how that is done and some of the things that have been holding people back. But I also want to talk about the healing powers that she was winning people over with. What exactly was she doing that people saw and bought as being legit in terms of those powers that she was selling at the time?
Well, a lot of the people that came there were flawed emotionally, physically. They had maybe drug, alcohol problems. So there was no drugs or alcohol at Word of Faith Fellowship.
Okay.
So they were cured of their addictions. And if they were seen or found to have any drugs or alcohol, they were beaten and punished. So that was one way to get them off.
Not exactly magical, but okay.
not exactly. You're separated from the whole world.
Yeah.
You're on the compound and there's no drugs and alcohol there. And yes. The other thing is, she did a lot of what Jim Jones did, which was faith healing. There were people with cancer and other diseases, and she claimed she cured them. Whether or not they actually had those diseases or not is up for debate. Mm-hmm. In the couple of cases where the person with cancer died, she would blame the victim and say it was their fault. They didn't pray long enough, hard enough. They had demons in them. And there was this one case, and this to me was amazing because, you know, the police kept a hands-off approach. They wouldn't go in and touch her, but they did an investigation in 1995, the state law enforcement agency called the SBI. Mm-hmm. And there was this one case that just stood out to me. The documents were never released, but we got them. We got so many of the documents. It was crazy. But a woman was having this attack where she was just out of her mind. It was some kind of mental breakdown.
Sure.
And it went on and on. So instead of taking her to a doctor, they held her against her will for 14 days in a house. And for 14 days, they blasted her. They screamed at her. They told her, come out, demons, come out, devils, come out, blah, 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 you know. But nothing happened.
Yeah.
Finally, her husband said, enough is enough, and snuck her out of the house, took her to a regular doctor outside the church who said she had an allergic reaction to medication that she was prescribed. Okay. And they ended up at the church blaming her for her illness, saying, no, that's not the case. You know, she just wasn't into the praying and blasting, and they blamed her. And of course, you know, she ended up leaving the church with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But what was amazing about that was when I was reading the court documents, they had interviewed a doctor who was a congregant of Word of Faith. This doctor went to some of the best universities in the country. I believe he went to Duke University Medical School. He was in the Navy and treated John F. Kennedy when John F. Kennedy would go to Bethesda with back problems. He wrote a note saying that this woman's problem was because she was possessed by demons. I want you to think about this, being educated at Duke, treating President Kennedy.
Yeah.
And he's writing a note saying that, you know, she was possessed by demons. That's the kind of grip that Jane had over her congregants. And what was fascinating to me, which was unbelievable, was that this was the antithesis of a typical cult, mm-hmm. in that when you think of Jim Jones or David Koresh, it was all about sex.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the cult leaders all had sex. You know, sooner or later, they were going to hit on somebody and, you know, mm-hmm. they would marry. Yeah, they were pedophiles in some cases, and they would get married, have multiple wives. This was a place where sex, you had to have permission to have sex. Even on your wedding night, you had that permission from Jane or one of the ministers to have sex. There were people who told me after they got married, they didn't have sex for 2 years afterwards. They were not allowed to have sex. And if you had sex without permission, there were no such thing as date night. That wife would go to Jane and you would end up being beaten. You would end up being banished from the house. You would end up in that place called the lower building where dozens of men were held against their will for more than a year. So think about that. And all of the leaders in this church were women. It was, you know, like I said, it was the antithesis of the prototypical cult. And maybe that's why it hasn't gotten attention. You know, when you think of Nexium and some of these other cults, it is all about, you know, one strong, you know, male cult leader having sex with multiple partners and everyone has to look up. But here, you were not allowed to have sex. And if you even thought about sex. And, you know, Jane and her ministers believed that they could read your mind. And they knew when you were having those thoughts. And the worst part of all was the children. They had no idea what things like masturbation were.
Yeah.
And they're going over to 5-6-year-old little boys and girls and tell them, I know you're having thoughts about masturbation. And they would punish them. They would beat them. They would. It's really hard to talk about because knowing it went on, knowing it goes on, knowing that DSS, law enforcement, knew what was going on, how they were coached by those district attorneys, how law enforcement has looked the other way, and how it continues. It's just, when you think about it, it's one thing if you're an adult and you join a cult. It's your choice. It's right or wrong, it's your choice.
Yeah.
But when you're born into it, or when you see this is happening to your children and it still goes on, there's something horrific about that. People looking the other way when children are being abused. The only DSS being the only agency in that county that has to call them in advance to let them know, hey, we're coming up to investigate you guys today.
There's more to come in our discussion with Mitch Weiss about the Word of Faith Fellowship. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any more of our conversation as we continue to drop them throughout the week here on the podcast. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Word of Faith Fellowship fervently denies all allegations and accusations brought against them. ¶¶